We're holding on Yudches Amud Aleph, the fourth line. We were discussing the question. Now, our Mishnah had told us, Yesh Neder B'Seich Neder, V'Ein Shvur B'Seich Shvur. So you can have a Neder that's in effect, and another Neder starts taking effect while the first one is still active. But a Shvur can't be inside a Shvur like that. And we said specifically, the Mishnah gave the example of Nazirus. If a person said, I'm a Nazir, if I'll eat this, and again he says, I'm a Nazir, I'll be a Nazir if I eat this, then if he eats it, he's chayev an individual Nazirus for each one. So now we had a Machlokas, Rav Huna and Shmuel. What about, would that also apply if the second Nazirus covers exactly the same period as the first one? So if the first Nazirus he had said on Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, and then on the same day he said on Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, again he said, I'll be a Nazir, then the question is, does it mean then that he's going to have two terms of Nazirus, one stretching over the entire month of Cheshvan, and the other one stretching over the entire month of Kislev? Necessarily, the second one can't start till the first one is over. So would that be the case? Or would we say that the second one really doesn't have any room to be chal on because the entire 30 days that it should be chal on are already covered by the first one? That was what Rav Huna said. So Rav Huna had said that if the second one doesn't cover, if the second one only overlaps with the first one, but still contains some days that the first one didn't, then fine. Rav Huna agrees that the second one would take effect because it has at least one day to be able to take effect on. And once it takes effect for one day, then it takes effect for 30. So if you were to do the first one on Aleph Cheshvan and the second one on Beis Cheshvan, then Rav Huna would agree that both of them are in effect. The first one runs from Aleph Cheshvan through Lamed, and the second one, which would have begun on Beis Cheshvan, instead is postponed. Like this, it would have covered only, like this, it covers one day that wasn't included in the first one because it includes Aleph Kislev, and instead, therefore, it ended up expanding from Aleph Kislev through Lamed because you can't have less than 30 days in Nazirus. So we've been discussing that whole point. And trying to bring a proof from our Mishnah about it and for various other braises and things. So now the Gemara says, Masiv Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna says, I have a contradiction on Rav Huna. The Pasuk said, we learn in a braisa that the Pasuk says, Nozir Lahazir. The Pasuk says, the Lashon HaPasuk is, Ish Ki Yafli, when a person makes a declaration, Lindo Neder Nozir, to declare a neder of Nazirus, lahazir lahashem, to make himself a nazir to Hashem. So the word nazir lahazir, which is an extra expression, teaches us mikancha nazirus, chal al nazir, chal al nazirus. That teaches us that one nazirus can be chal on top of another. So once we work it out, again, we're gonna see, are we talking about that they only overlap, or are we talking about that they're identical? Once we figure out on the face of it, we're talking about that they're identical, then the braisa is clearly saying that they work, whereas according to Rav Huna, they wouldn't. But first, let's go through the braisa. So the Gemara says, Shiyachol, because otherwise, without the Pasuk telling us, you would have thought to say, Bahalo din hu, you would think to make a Kavu Chom, Uma Shvua Chamura, Madach Shvua, which is more stringent, and it's more stringent in the sense, as we're going to explain further down on the Amud, because when we're in connection with a Shavua, you have the expression in the Pasuk, Lo Yinaka Hashem. You have in the Aseret Sedivris, Lo Yisisa Hashem, Hashem Alekechal Hashav. Don't take Hashem's name in vain, because Hashem will not cleanse someone, Asher Yisa Shmoy Lashav, who takes his name in vain. So you have the word over there, Lo Yinaka, that Hashem will not clean it up for him, which you don't find by any other Aveva. In fact, the Gemara in Shavuos tells us that when Hashem said that expression, when Hashem said that line in the Aseret Sedivros, the whole world trembled at that. So there's a chumrah in Shavuos over Nedarim. Now, to be sure, I mean, there are other chumras in Shavuos over Nedarim as well, which we've already learned some of them. We learned that there, for example, Shavua cannot be chal to be mevatel a mitzvah, a neder could. Vice versa, we said there are Lashonis that don't work for a neder, but work for a shvua. But we're giving one example of something where shvua is more stringent than a neder. So you would think that even though a shvua is more stringent, nevertheless, in shvua chalal shvua, one shvua still cannot be chal on top of another one. As we said in the Mishnah, if a person were to say, for example, a shvua that I'm also to eat this food, and again, another shvua that I'm also to eat this food, not, the second shvua doesn't take effect. because the first Shavua has already covered it. So even though a Shavua is more stringent, one Shavua is not chal on the other. Nezirus kala, you would think Nezirus is more lenient in the sense that there's none of this yinake Hashem. You don't say that Hashem won't clean a person up if he made a neder of Nezirus and then fails to fulfill it. The guy's going to get Malkus, fine. He can get Malkus for Shavuos Shav as well. But you don't have this expression that Hashem will not clean it up, that Hashem will always consider him guilty even after he gets the Malkus. You don't find that by Nezirus. So therefore, you would argue Nezirus kala lekol shekhen. You would have thought to say that Nezirus, which is more lenient than how much more so that one Nezirus cannot be chal on another. And therefore, tava blayma nazir lahazir. That is why the pasuk needs to use the expression nazir lahazir mikansha nezirus chala al nezirus to teach us, therefore, that one nezirus can be chal on top of another. So now that we have that braisa, says Rav Hamnuna, heichidom. Let's figure out what's the scenario that Tosfos points out, incidentally, that there are different kinds of shavuos. That when it comes to shavuos, there are different kinds. There's shavuos bitui, which is when the person made a shavua and then failed to fulfill it, which is what we were dealing with over here. Really, the pasuk lo sisa Hashem Hashem alatecha l'shav is primarily talking about a shavuos shav or shavuos sheker. A shavuos shav is a useless shavua. For example, a person makes a shavua, let's say that this rock is a rock, where it's very obvious that it is, or he makes a shavua on something which is patently not so. For example, he makes a shavua that this rock is really a piece of wood. Those are examples of shavuos shav. Shavuos sheker would be where he swears that he did something and really he didn't, or vice versa. Here we're not talking about that. Nevertheless, Tosfos says the fact is we see that there is a chumrah in a shavua that you don't really find by a neder. The point is, so the Braisa is saying that one Nezirus can be chal on another. So now, says Rav Hamnuna, hey chidomi. So what's the scenario? Is it that he says, first, I'll be a Nazir today, and then the next day he says again, I'll be a Nazir? Do you need a pasuk to tell us that that should work? Of course it would work, because again, the second Nezirus does not cover the exact same time period as the first one. It includes at least one day that the previous one didn't. Therefore, it has room to be chal on that one day. And once it's chal on that one day, then it expands to 30 days because you can't have Nezirus less than 30 days. So you don't need a pasuk to tell us that that would work. That would be like we learned yesterday. That would be the equivalent of saying, for example, that I'll make a shavua that I won't eat figs and then another shavua that I won't eat grapes, where obviously the second one is chal, it has nothing to do with the first one. Ella lav to omer hayonin nozer hayoyim hayonin nozer hayoyim. So evidently the braisa must be talking about a case where he says, I'm a nozer today, twice he says that. And v'katani nezirus chal on nezirus. And you're saying that it does work, that the second nezirus takes effect. And we say, in other words, that it's suspended until the first one is over, and then the second one begins. Well, according to Rav Huna, that shouldn't work. According to Rav Huna, because they both cover the same, because when he said them, they both were supposed to cover the same time period, and they can't, because once the first one covers the entire month of Cheshvan, for example, then that one's taken up with that one. There's no room for the other. Then there's then that's it. He says the second one is not chal. The Braisa seems to be implying that it does. So that contradicts Rav Huna. And the answer is loy, not necessarily. No, because you could say, again, the Braisa is talking about where he accepted the two Nezirus at one time. So at one time, he said, I will be a Nazir twice. Even Rav Huna is going to agree that that works. And what it means is, again, it means there's going to be one term of Nezirus, then he's going to shave and bring his Korbanos, and then he's going to start his second Nezirus, which the Ran says, in that case, then what's the Chiddush in it? Obviously, a person can say as many Nezirus in as he wants. The answer is, the Ran gives the answer, because if it weren't for the Pasuk and what the Braisa is learning from it, you would think that maybe when he says, I will be a Nazir twice, maybe it doesn't mean two separate terms of Nezirus, each of 30 days, maybe it means one long Nezirus of 60 days. So therefore, we have to be told that no, that's not what it means. The Rosh gives a different explanation of it, which is, again, going back to our Mishnah, we said the case was, he didn't just say I'm a Nazir. He said, I'll be a Nazir if I eat this food. And again, he said, I'll be a Nazir if I eat this food. So Mela, if he hadn't said that, okay, you would say, sure, a person could say, I'll be a Nazir as many times as he wants, and it would be Chal. But here, where he's making it depend on him eating that food, you would think that that maybe he can maybe he ate. That's that. So you would think everything that has to do with the eating should be considered one nazirus, and there shouldn't be room for a second one. And therefore, the Braiser is telling us from Nazir Lahazir that that's not the case. But it's not a contradiction on Rav Huna, because Rav Huna is talking about the case where he said one of them, and then later on, the same day, he said the second one, where he says that doesn't work, whereas here we're talking about at the same time, he said, I'll be a Nazir twice over. Or he said, for example, right back to back, he said, Harini Nazirim Oichal, Harini Nazirim Oichal. And then he eats it, and then right away he becomes chayav for two things of Nazirs. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, umay chumra de shvua min neder. Now, in the Braisa before, we said that there was a certain shvua, there was a certain chumra of a shvua over a neder, which led us to think maybe that given that you can't have shvua, one shvua on top of another, maybe you shouldn't be able to have one neder on top of another, and therefore the pasuk needs to tell us otherwise. What exactly is that chumra? You're going to say that the chumra of a shavua is it can fall on something intangible. As we've learned before, for example, a person can't validly say a neder. He can't say a neder that sleep is also to me, because sleep is not something that you can touch and feel, and therefore it's not something tangible, and therefore a neder can't be chal on it. He would have to say a shvua, that he would have to say a neder, or koinam, whatever, the lashon of neder, that my eye should be also, that my eyes should be also to sleep, whereas eyes are something tangible. Whereas a shvua, it does work. A person says a shvua, I won't sleep. That, okay, if he says for 3 days, it'll be a shvua strong. But if he says for one day, if he says I won't sleep for 1 day or 2 days, then it's a valid shvua. So you're going to say that's the chumra of a shvua over a neder. Well, you could answer right back, neder nami chomer. You could answer that a neder has a chomer in the other direction. Shekein chalal a mitzvah kirushus. After all, as we learned before, a person can validly make a neder that will block him from doing a mitzvah. He can make a neder, for example, that the hana of sitting in a sukkah is also to him, and he will be also to sit in that sukkah. Or the same thing with other mitzvahs. Whereas a shvua not, if he says a shvua that I won't sit in the sukkah, then that shvua is ineffective. So if you're going to talk about what kind of things one can be chal on versus the other, you're going to find chumras and kolos in each one. A shvua can be chal on something intangible, but a neder can be chal on a mitzvah. So it can't be that. No, it's rather, as we were saying before, as we brought before from the Ran and the Rosh, that because the Pasuk says specifically about it, and the Tosfos, that specifically the Pasuk says about a Shavua, lo yinaka, that Hashem will not cleanse a person who swears in his name falsely or uselessly, so that we don't have by any other mitzvah, and therefore that is the Chumra of a Shavua over a Neder, which is why the Braisa thought to say that if a Shavua can't be Chal on another Shavua, maybe a Neder can't be Chal on another Neder. The Ran, by the way, gets into a bit of a side discussion over here. So the bottom line is really that a regular neder cannot be chal on another regular neder. Now, we learned yesterday there are Rishonim who disagree with that and say that it would, at least in the sense that he'd be chayav double malchus for the Ran brings, in other words, he brings from Sas Meforshim, he says from some Meforshim, in particular the Rashba holds this way, that say that if you were to make a neder, for example, this bread is koinam to me, and then again, this bread is koinam to me, then if he were to eat that bread, he would be getting double malchus. And the Ran disagrees with that and says it doesn't really fit with the sugya of the Gemara over here. Anyway, so he says, so the only exception is, the only case where we say a neder is chal on a neder is only when it comes to nazirus, not when it comes to any other nedarim. And then he also mentions that, the interplay between shavuos and nedarim in the sense, can one of them be chal on the other kind? So the Ran says a neder can be chal on top of a shavua, but not the other way around. Let's say, for example, he says, suppose a person made a shavua that he will eat this loaf of bread. Then he makes a neder saying that it's a koinam, that this bread should be also to him. Well, the same way as we say that a neder can prevent him from sitting in a sukkah, even though he is mushba v'oimin b'har Sinai, he's besworn from har Sinai to, he's been sworn from House Sinai to sit in a sukkah. Nevertheless, his neder is able to override it for the reasons that we talked about before, because the neder goes on the cheftza, and the cheftza doesn't have, the object doesn't have, is not mushba v'oim in the House Sinai, or because in principle, his neder could answer only some of the sukkahs in the world and not others, and therefore, there in principle, there could be room for other ones for him to be yotze the mitzvah with. So even if it so happens that he said all of them, nevertheless, it's still the same idea. Anyway, the same way, the Ran says, so now when he said a shvua that I will eat this bread, which effectively creates a mitzvah for him to eat it, now he's able to override that with a neder. On the other hand, he says the flip side would not be true. If he were to say that this, he says that actually it could be, he says it's possible maybe, that in fact, we would actually say then that he says that a neder, so a neder can be chal on a shvur. So now you might have, for example, let's say, suppose he swears that he won't eat this bread. Then he makes a neder that he won't eat this bread. A neder that the bread is also to him as a koinam. Now, if he were to eat it, says the Ran, maybe he would indeed get double malchus for it. One for being over on his shvur and another for being over on his neder. But anyway, the point is, it's not the flip side is not true. If he were to say that the bread is also to him, and then he would say a koinam that this bread is also to me, and then a shvur that I will eat this bread. So sure, he's not allowed to eat it, but you can't really say that he's over on the shvur. You would really say that he's only over on the neder at that point, if he would eat it. There is an interesting thing in that regard. There's an interesting thing in that regard in Shulchan Aruch, in the halachas of Nedarim. So it brings an opinion related to this. Now, we learned earlier in the parak that you can't be matfis with something which is osur, intrinsically osur. For example, you can't say this bread should be like chazer flesh and the neder take effect. You said that wouldn't take effect because chazer flesh is not something, it's not a dover hanodru. So it's not something that you can create a neder on. In Shulchan Aruch, it mentions an interesting thing. It says, yesh oimrim, that some say that if a person were to make a neder on something which is osur, so suppose, for example, you have nevelus or trefus, and now he makes a neder that this nevelus or trefus should be osur, should be koinam to me. So Shulchan Aruch brings, yesh oimrim, some say that the neder is chal, and then if he eats from it, then not only is over on nevelus or trefus, but he's also over on his neder. So what's this yesh oimrim? So the Taz actually has a cute thing he says over there. He says that previously it said in the previous sif, the Shulchan Aruch had brought the idea that a neder is not chal on a loisese. So now he's saying yesh oimrim different. So the Taz says in the print of Shulchan Aruch that the Taz had in front of him, he says it said only yesh oimrim. Whereas our prints have the yesh oimrim. So he says, apparently what happened over here was that whoever was printing the Shulchan Aruch thought that the Vav is actually Sif Vav, because it just happens to be Sif Vav of Shulchan Aruch, and he put the Vav for that, not realizing that it's actually a continuation of the previous Sif. Anyway, that's a separate thing. You have a machloikas Rishonim on that point. If a person were to make a neder, here the Ran is saying, for example, that a neder cannot be chal on top of a shvur. So would that also apply, for example, if a person makes a neder on something which is already osur anyway, something which is already mushba v'oim in mahar sinai, for example, nevelus or trefus, would that work or not? So that's the end of the discussion. About Rav Huna and Shmuel. The Rishonim say since throughout the sugya, what Shmuel says flows more easily with the various Mishnayos and Braises that we're bringing, whereas in order to make it work according to Rav Huna, we really had to kvetch things in and to say a lot of times that we're saying specifically where he said two nazir, shtei nazirus b'vasachas. So therefore, the halacha winds up being like Shmuel. So yes, if a person says, I will be a nazir, and again, the same day, I will be a nazir, then yes, both of them are chal. He has one nazirus for a month, and then when that one is over, then he does the second one. So now continuing with the Mishnah, and we're going to get back to that point of Nazirus. So now the Mishnah had said that if a person were to say a shvur that I won't eat, and again a shvur that I won't eat, but ochal, if now he eats en chayiv al achas, then he's chayiv only one malchus for breaking his shvur, because the second shvur has no room to be chal. But Omar Rava, but Rava says you should know that's not always the case. Im nishal al harishona, if he asks and his matur neder on the first one, shnia chola olav, then the second one is chal on him. So you can have, here we're saying shvur shla echal, shvur shla echal, and we're assuming he's saying them back to back. Obviously, it doesn't have to be the case. You could have where he says one of them today, and he says the other one tomorrow, and then later on, he finds grounds to be matter the first one, but not such grounds to be matter the second one. So now, if he's matter the first one, then the second one still is chal on him, because after all, it was kind of hanging there in the air. It had no place to be chal, but now that the first one is gone, then it comes. Mimai, and Rava says, how do I know that? Midaloi katoni eina ela achas, because the Mishnah did not say that it counts as only one shvur. Vekatoni eina chayev ela achas. Instead, the Mishnah used the expression that he's chayev for only one. Implying ravhu de lesla, implying the reason why the second one cannot be chal, because there's no room for it to be chal. But ki mitchal al chavata, but now when he's matur neder on the first one, chayla, then it's able to be chal, because now there's room for the first one to, now there's room for the first one to be chal. And now Tosfos points out there are other places where it uses the expression ein chayiv ala achas, and it doesn't mean that there are two separate isurim. The difference is over here, Tosfos says, since after all the expression ein chayiv ala achas could mislead us, as we're saying over here in the Gemara, to mean that there really is only one. Therefore, the Tana should have specified. And if he didn't, if instead he uses the expression ein chayiv ala achas, then it means obviously that it's not misleading. In fact, both shvuris exist. Just that, practically speaking, only one of them is in effect, and therefore, if he breaks it, then he's getting only one malchus. The Gemara says lishnachrina, another version of what Rava said. Chiyuvu deleka, he says there's no chiyuv on the second one. Hashvua ika, or actually, it's not really Rava starting off. It's the stumad Gemara, the anonymous Gemara starting off. We infer from the Mishnah, since it says ain't chayev al achas, he's chayev only for one. Ha shvua ika. But when it comes to a shvua, the fact that shvua exists, it does exist. L'may hilsa. Now, what would be the nafkamina if the second one is not chal anyway? And the answer would be l'chid rabba, that it's for what rabba tells us. D'amar rabba nishal al rishona also l'shnia tachter. That if he is matur neder on the first one, then the second one takes over from the first one. Now, what's the nafkamina between these two different lashonis? So a couple of achronim, including in the back of the Gemara, Yaporas Yosef, brings an interesting possibility. Now, the din is, you can't be matir, a neder, or shvur before it's actually chal. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta, we're going to learn the dinim of Ataras Nedarim, but you have, let's say, for example, a person makes a neder that beginning next Rosh Chodesh, I'm going to do such and such. So now, if in between he wants to be matir neder and he comes to Beis Din, then they're going to tell him, not yet. Wait until the neder is actually chal. Wait until Rosh Chodesh, then you can come be matir neder. So now the question is the first one actually chal and it's just suspended in the air, or is it that the first one is not really chal at all? According to the first lashon, we're saying that we didn't say the shvua exists. All we said is that once the first one is gone, then the second one takes over, implying, in other words, the first one has not really been, the second one really has not been chal at that point. Could he be matur neder on the second one? Maybe not. Not until he's matur neder on the first one, in order to have room for the second one to be chal, and then he can be matur neder on it. Whereas according to the second version of the Gemara, you could say the fact is both of them exist right now. Just practically speaking, we can punish him for only one of them at a time, and therefore that's what we do. But nevertheless, the second one does exist in the sense that it's already something, it's already a live issue, and Beis Din can be matur the second one for him as well. So the Gemara says, Lema Messiah. Now, can we say that the following Mishnah supports what Rava says? That's a braisa, actually, rather not a Mishnah. We quoted it also on the previous Amud, on Yudzayin Amud Beis. Misha nodar shtei nezirus. If a person made a neder of two nezirus, umana eser ishayna, he counted off the first one, v'hifrish korban, then he designated a korban, v'nishal aloha, and then he was matur neder on the first one, which we said, we learned this yesterday, the Mefarish over here, pointed under Rashi's name, says that this only works if he was matur neder before he designated the korban. So for hifrish korban would mean, and before that, already nishal aloha, he had already asked the rav to be matur neder. According to other Risha, according to the Rambam, not. In fact, according to the Rambam, he could even be matur the first one after he shaved and after he brought his korbanos. It's still not too late to be matur the first one. And then the result is, there's a v'nishal aloha, also a shniya v'rishon. So the second one counts in place of the first one. In other words, so to begin with, Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, he had made a neder of two nezirus, which would have been then back to back, one of them covering the whole Cheshvan, the second one covering the whole Kislev. Now at the end, when it comes time to bring his korbanos, again, according to the Mefarish, before he actually designates any korban, according to the Rambam, even after he brought all of his korbanos, he's matur neder on that. Then we say the nezirus that he observed throughout Chodesh Cheshvan counts for the second one. So now the result is he doesn't have to keep Nezirus and Kislev, but he still, we don't say that everything he did during Cheshvan was useless, because in fact it counted as the fulfillment of his second neder. So that seems to support what Rava said in the case of Shavuos. And the answer is, the Gemara says again, not necessarily, just like we answered before, to that braisa shouldn't contradict Rav Huna. We said the case could be where he accepted the two nezirus at the same time. So also we could say that that's what the braisa is talking about over here. So maybe it's talking about, to begin with, on Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, he said, I'm accepting on myself two terms of nezirus. So then, once the first term has disappeared because the Chacham was Matur Neder, then therefore the second one takes over, and what he did that entire first month counts as the fulfillment of the second one. That doesn't necessarily mean when he did them separately, which was Rava's case, that being Matur, the first one should allow the second one to be Chal, maybe, maybe not. So the Ram says, okay, it's true, we can't prove Rava's point from the Braisa, but nevertheless, the fact is the halacha is like Rava. We have our Mishnah seems to bear him out. We also have a Mishnah in Shavuos that seems to bear him out. So therefore, the halacha is in the end like him, and that's exactly that. If the person made, so even if it was two separate Nedarim of Nezirus, both on the same day, again, not, we said, because before, not like Rav Huna, so even, we said, like Shmuel, the halacha is like Shmuel, so even if he had two statements of Nezirus both on the same day, then we would say, if he ends up being Matur Neder on the first one, then the second one takes over where the first one was, and we said that now, the first month where he kept his Nezirus is now the fulfillment of his second Neder, and that's it, he doesn't need to do anything more. Okay, Mishnah says, Stam Nedarim Lahachmir. Stam Nedarim, meaning if a person makes a neder and there's more than one way of understanding what he said, Lahachmir, then we go Lachumra, according to it. Now, the Mefarish says over here, it means that he doesn't know what he meant when he was neder. And there are other Rishonim who learn that way as well. Other Rishonim learn that it just means that as long as he hasn't specified, then we say we have to go lahachmer. But the Mishnah is going to continue upirusham lahakel. But to explain them means to be makel. So in other words, the Ran says if afterwards he explains and he says when I first made that neder, I meant the more lenient way. I meant that it's not going to be an actual neder. Then we would go lahakel. Then we would go lakula, and it wouldn't be a neder. So again, according to the Mefarish, the vort is stam nedarim lahachmir would mean if he doesn't know what he meant, or pirushan would be if he says I do know what I meant, and here it was, and here it is. But according to the Ran, the vort is until we ask him, then we assume it's lachumra. But if he specifies and says what I meant was such and such, then we can accept what he's saying, even though he's made. So the whole rest of our Mishnah is going to give examples of the stam nedarim lahachmir. Ketzad. So what does this mean? Omer harei alai kibosim aliyach. Suppose a person says that this food should be to me like salted meat, or kiyayin nesach, or he says it should be like yayin nesach. Now, each of those phrases, bosim aliyach or yayin nesach, can mean something which is a dover hanodur, but it can also mean something that's not. Im b'shel shlomim, really it says it's on the side, it's supposed to be shamayim nodar. If if he meant meat of shlomim or meat of shamayim, meat of karbonis in general, then also, then he would be also, because a shlomim or any other kind of carbon is a davar hanodu. And meat of karbonis can be called bosom aliyach in the sense, because the pasuk tells us that all karbonis have to be offered with salt on them. So therefore, bosom aliyach could be a term used for karbonis. So in other words, stam nedarim lahachmir, if he says this food should be kabosom aliyach, and he doesn't specify what he meant, or according to the Mefarish, he forgot what he meant, or he doesn't know to begin with what he meant, then we would go lachumra and say that it means it's a valid neder. Im b'shal avodas kechavim nadar. On the other hand, conceivably, the words basam aliyah could mean meat that is offered to getchkes, which is not a davar hanadar, because that's something which is intrinsically osur min haTorah. There is, of course, the action that somebody actually had to go and offer it to Avodazara, but it doesn't necessarily require any kind of speech or anything like that in order to do that. So then mutter, then that would be mutter. That's not considered a neder. That's not considered a neder because it's not a davar hanodr. So he was makfis with something which is osur, not with something which is nodr. So again, according to the Ran, what it would mean is we would ask him. We would say, you said that this should be like basam aliyach. What kind of basam aliyach did you have in mind? And if he says, I meant like meat of avodah zarah, then we'll tell him, okay, then it means it's not a nedr. You don't have to worry about it. By the way, the Rosh points out a logical reason why would we say stam nedarim lahachmir. The reason, so there are Rishonim who learn that the reason is basically because of Sfeika Daraisa. You have a Sufik Daraisa, whether he meant Lachumra or Lakula, and therefore you have to go Lachumra because in Dorama Daraisa. The Rosh gives a different logic. He says, listen, the guy obviously meant to express something. Otherwise, why didn't he just keep quiet? So therefore, we have every reason to assume that if he says Kibosim Aliyah, then he actually meant to actually declare a valid neder. Only if we ask him, and he says that he meant, only if we ask him and he says that he actually meant meat that was offered to Avodah Zarah, then we can say, fine, we can accept what he's saying to be makel and to say that it's not a valid neder. Which, by the way, Tosfos also points out, now why do we have only those two extremes? Can't basam aliyach also mean meat of chulin? Tosfos says because people don't usually call meat of chulin basam aliyach. We're going to have a rule later on in the Masechta that says, v'nedorim holach achalosh bnei adam. When it comes to nedorim, you always follow the common expression that people use in that part of the world. We're going to have examples of that later in the Mishnah, actually. So if you have, so for example, basam aliyach, if you have a place where people commonly use the word basam aliyach to mean regular meat of chulin, then we would assume that's what it means. If you have a place, which Tosfos is describing, where in those times, apparently they didn't use the word basam aliyach to mean regular chulin meat. They meant meat that is salted for some kind of korban, but either it could be a korban to Hashem or lahavdil, a korban to Avodah Zarah, then we have the stam nedarim lahachmir or purushim lahakar. Well, we're going to have many examples of that later on in the perek of things where a person makes a neder that such and such should be osur to me, and we say we have to figure according to the local loshim ne'adam what that such and such is, what is included and what isn't included. Anyway, the Mishnah continues. Ve'im stam osur. If it was stam, meaning again that he says I don't know which one I meant, or we haven't asked him yet, then osur. Then he would be osur in this thing. The same thing with yain nesach. By the way, yain nesach can also mean the same thing. It can mean wine that was poured out for Hashem, or lahavdol, it can mean wine that was poured out in honor of Avodah Zarah. So the same principle would apply. Again, there are achronim that say that maybe nowadays nobody uses the word yain nesach to mean wine that was poured out in honor of Hashem. We use the word nesachit for that. Yain nesach in common parlance nowadays means exclusively the kind that is osur. So therefore, maybe that would be considered makfis for davar osur, and therefore it's not a neder, but not everybody agrees to that. Another example, harei like chayim. What if he says this food should be to me like chayim? Now we've learned at the beginning of the Masechta that there are two kinds of chayim. When a person declares this object should be chayim, then there are two possibilities. He can mean cherme gavoya or cherem lashamayim, which means it's essentially cherem in that context is basically just another word for hektish. So it means it's regular hektish. It goes to the treasury of Bet HaKabayis to be used for the upkeep and the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash. Or cherem can mean cherem lakoyanim, where the din is now cherem of hektish. on the one hand, it is Hekdesh, all the dinim of Hekdesh applied to it in terms of Me'ilah and so on and so forth. On the other hand, you can always redeem it. You can always go to the Gizborim, you can always go to the treasurers of the Beis Mikdash and say, you know what, I want to buy it back, figure out how much it's worth, and I'll pay the value, and I'll buy it back, plus a choymesh if necessary, and buy it back. Then you have Cherme Koyanim, where the din is, once you say something is Cherem for the Koyanim, you have to give it to a Koyan. There's no redeeming it, there's no nothing, you have to give it to a Koyan, but as soon as the Koyan gets it, it becomes complete Chulin. So each one has a Chumra and a Kula over the other, kind of. So now, if a person says, this food should be to me like Cherem, if he meant the kind of cherem that goes to Hashem, namely to the Beit HaBayis, also then it'll be also. That's classic Dover HaNodu. The im kacherem shall koyanim mutter. But if he says, or if he specified, or we ask him later and he explains that he means like the cherem of koyanim, then it will be mutter. Because even though cherem of koyanim, there's a period of time when it's also, but eventually it becomes once you give it to the koyan. Once you give it to the Kohen, then it becomes completely mutter, it becomes completely chulin. And in fact, Tosfos says, now we learned in the first parak, we had a long discussion about the question when a person, we talked about, for example, a person is matfis with mead of shlomim, and the question becomes, does he mean the status of the shlomim as they were earlier when they were also for everybody to eat, or does he mean the status now after the blood was sprinkled when they're mutter to eat? Here, Tosfos points out, since he uses the expression "shebeshel koyanim," then he means after it was already received by the koyan, in which case it's cholim. So therefore, that would be mutter. The imstam also, and again, if he just said stam and he says, "I don't remember what I meant," or "I didn't have anything particular in mind in the first place," then we said stam the dorim lahachmer, and then we assume that it's also. Then we say it's also because then it's like cherim. Then we consider it like cherim koyan, like cherim gavoya. Similarly, hareo like a miser. What if he says this food should be to me like miser? So again, it depends. Imka miser behema nodar osir. If he means to compare it to miser behema, then it would be osir. Miser behema is also an example of a dover hanodar. Because again, it becomes a korban. Now, it is true that you don't have to, explicitly say that it is the tenth. On the other hand, the point is, you can't just, for example, when it comes to separating mice and behema, Tosfos points out, you do have to count them at least. You don't have to necessarily declare when the tenth one comes out, this one is the tenth. The din is, the Gemara tells us in Bechoris, even if you didn't say anything when the 10th one walked out of the pen, it's still Asiri Me'il of Kodesh, the 10th one becomes holy on its own, but you had to have a count up to that point. If you just have all your animals sitting over there and you look them over and say, oh, I see there are 20 animals over there, well, then I'll take two of them from Meiser, that doesn't work. You have to count, you have to have them pass through one by one or at least group by group, whatever. So in that sense, Meiser Behema is called the Dover HaNodu. On the other hand, the im shall gur and mutter. On the other hand, if he means to compare it to meiser from the granary, meiser of produce, then it would be mutter. Because we learned previously that truma and challah are not considered. So first of all, meiser rishon, if we're talking about, is mutter for everybody to eat. And even meiser sheni really is mutter for everybody to eat under certain conditions. There is an opinion of Rav Meir in Yevamos that says that Ma'aser Rishon is also Lazarim. But anyway, the point is, even if we say it is also, it's similar to what we learned previously about Truma, where there's various reasons that Rishonim offered why Truma is not considered a Dover HaNodar. Either because the fact is it is mutter for some people to eat, showing therefore that the restrictions on it are Min HaShemayim and not part of your neder, or that was the Ran's reason, or because the fact is beforehand, all of it was also to eat, and now some of it still remains also for you to eat. So you didn't really make a neder to make part of it also. It was also all along. That was the Rosh's reason over there. And then the Rambam's reason is because you're required to do it. You can't get away without it. And therefore, it can't be considered a Dover HaNodar. You can't even eat the produce until the Meiser is taken. So in any case, for all those reasons, for any of those reasons, Meiser of grain is not considered Dover HaNodar. So if you were to say that this food should be like Meiser of grain, then it would be Mutter. Again, Ve'im Stam also, but if you didn't specify, or you didn't yet specify what it is, or you forgot or whatever, then we would assume it's also, because we assume that he means Meiser Behem. And a fourth example, Harei like Truma, if he says that this food should be to me like Truma, Im Keturma Salishka Nadar, if he meant Truma as in Truma of the coins that are taken out of the Lishka from the Machzah Shekel to pay for the Korbanos and the other expenses of the Beis HaMikdash, then that would be also, because that Truma Salishka comes from Machzah Shekel, which is a Dabar HaNadar. Everybody designates the Machzah Shekel. The Imshal Goren, again, if he meant Truma of the granary, Mutter, then it would be Mutter, as we just said, the various reasons why Truma of produce is not considered Dabar HaNadar. The Im Stam Osir. But if you just said Stam, then it's going to be Osir. So in all those examples, then we have the example of Stam Nedarim Lahachmir, where he said something and we're not sure what he meant, and maybe he himself is not sure, or maybe we just haven't asked him yet. Then we say we have to assume the stricter interpretation, either because again Safik Daraisa Lachomra, or because as the Rosh says, he must have meant something with his declaration. But in each of these cases, if he specifies and says that he meant the thing which is mutter, then in fact it would be mutter. So that's the example also of Pirush and Lahakar. So in the next Mishnah on Chofam and Aleph, we're going to give examples of Pirush and Lahakar, where you can have, for example, in our Mishnah, we said Harei like Cherim. And we said it can mean cherim of Shemayim, it can mean cherim of Koyanim, but the next Mishnah is going to give examples. For example, the word cherim may not mean cherim as in something off limits at all. A cherim may mean a net. So he may have been making like a joke kind of neder, comparing it to a net, which of course is not something that's off limits, and therefore is not also. So that we'll deal with in the next Mishnah. Continues the Mishnah. Now, all of this that we said so far is according to Rav Meir. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda says, no, as far as Truma, it's not so simple. You, Rav Meir, are saying that it's always a blanket thing, whether he meant Truma Salishko or Truma Sagoren, and it'll depend whether he knows what he meant or whether he says what he meant or whatever. Rav Yehuda says, not so simple. Stam Truma be Yehuda Asura Begolo Muteris. Actually, in Yehuda, in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, yes, if he says Truma and doesn't specify, then it would mean that it's Osir, because then he refers to Truma Salishka. But in the Galil, in the north of Eretz Yisrael, it would be Mutter to begin with. It wouldn't even be a matter of Stam Nedarim Lahachmer, because She'en Anshe Golo Makirinas Truma Salishka. The people in the Galil, in the north of Eretz Yisrael, are not that familiar with Truma Salishka. They don't live near Yerushalayim, so they're not used to the idea of that three times a year somebody goes into the chamber over there and takes out coins and spends them to buy the korbanos. So when they use the word truma in that part of the world, therefore there should be no reason at all to assume that they mean truma salishka. They probably mean truma of grain or of grain or other produce, and we said that's not considered a davar hanadol. So according to Rav Meir, in other words, anywhere in Eretz Yisrael or anywhere in the world that you said truma, it could mean truma salishko, it could mean truma of produce, whereas according to Rav Yehuda, it depends what part of the world you're in. Continues the Mishnah, stam charomim b'Yehuda mutarin b'golol asurin. Now, when it comes to cherem, then there's a similar kind of thing. Now, the Gemara is going to explain on your testament days, so we'll learn it tomorrow, Best Hashem, that this last line of the Mishnah is actually according to a different Tana. So far we had Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. Now the Gemara is going to say later that the last two lines of the Mishnah over here, Stam Charomim, is going to be actually according to Reb Elazar b'Reb Tzadik. Now both Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda agree with the underlying principle of Stam Nedarim Lahachmer. They're disagreeing about the particular application to Truma, because Rabbi Yehuda says in the Galil, you can't even say in the north of Eretz Yisrael, you can't even say that Stam Truma could possibly mean Truma Salishka. Nobody over there uses Truma in that sense. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, the Gemara is going to explain later, is disagreeing with the whole premise of Stam Nedarim Lahachmer. He holds that actually Stam Nedarim Lahachmer. So he says, Stam Charom and be Yehuda Mutarin. So if a person says Cherem without specifying, in Yehuda, it will be Mutar. But Golil Asurim. But if he uses the word Cherem in the Golil in the north of Eretz Yisrael, then they will be also She'en Anshe Golo Makirin as Cherme Akoyanim. Because the people in the Golil are not that familiar with Cherme Akoyanim, because not so many Koyanim live there. The Koyanim, after all, we're talking in the time of the Beis Mikdash, they were going to be serving in rotations every week, another Mishmar in the Beis Mikdash. So they didn't want to live all the way in the Galil, where it's hard to get to Yerushalayim, they might not make it in time. So most of the families of the Kohanim tended to live in Yehuda. So therefore, in the Galil, they b'chlal didn't have as many koyanim among them, and therefore there was less opportunity for chermi koyanim. So therefore, now these last two lines of the Mishnah, which again the Gemara is going to attribute later to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, is saying that in the Galil, the only kind of chedim they're familiar with is chedim l'gavoya, chedim l'shamayim, and that is a davar anadur. Therefore, in the Galil, if you say chedim, then by default it is aser. There it's not even a matter of stam charomim lahachmir, he would say, because they are the only meaning of chedim is chedim l'shamayim. Whereas in Yehuda, since it could mean one or it could mean the other, he holds stam the dorim lahokal, unlike the beginning of our Mishnah, and therefore he says, since it could mean cherme koinim in Yehuda, then therefore we have the right to begin with to assume that it means that, even if he didn't specify. So the Gemara starts off. Now, we're saying in the Mishnah, stam the dorim lahachmer. So the Gemara asks about Tanan, but we learn it in Mishnah in Taharis, Sofet Nezirus Lahokal. Why it comes in Taharis, by the way, is because the Mishnayos and Taharis over there are dealing with different cases of Sofet. Start dealing with Sofet Tuma and various things like that. So therefore, it goes on to digress to talking about different other Sfeikas. And one of them is Sofet Nezirus Lahokal, that when you have a Sofet of whether a person is a Nazir, then we'll make on it. We say he's not a Nazir. Now there are different kinds of Suffolk Nazir. Now the question of the Gemara is, because Nazirus is a type of neder, as we've said before. So the Mefarish gives an example over here. We touched on it earlier in the Masechta. Suppose that two people, Reuven and Shimon, are standing together. They see somebody in the distance. They say, Reuven says to Shimon, "I bet you that guy is a Nazir. I bet you that guy in the distance is a Nazir. And if he is, then I will be a Nazir." Now, suppose that that guy, before he ever gets close enough for them to see, he turns away, turns off in a different direction, and they never find out whether he's a Nazir or not. So we say, Suffolk Naziris Lahokal. In that case, then we're Makel. We don't say that he's not a Nazir. So if Suffolk Naziris Lahokal, then why are we saying Stam Nadorim Lahachmir? Isn't Naziris a type of Nether? And the answer is Amr Abzeidel, like Kasha, Horab Liyazar, Horabana, because there's a Machlok Tanoim on that. Ditanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa. Hamakdish Chayoser Behemtoi. Suppose a person is Makdish, his Chayas Behemus, to the Bais HaMikdash. Now, there are two different explanations of Rishonim over here. Do we mean that he's Makdish one or the other, or do we mean he's Makdish one and the other? Do we mean that he's Makdish Chaya or Behema, or that he's Makdish Chaya and Behema? Anyway, Hikdish is a Koi. The Braisa says, also included in that Hikdish is a Koi. A Koi is a creature. It's mentioned in many places in Shas. Sometimes you have some people who claim that the word is actually supposed to be pronounced Kvi, but anyway, whatever. The point is, there's different opinions. Everybody agrees that the Sofet Chaya, Sofet Behema. There's different opinions in the Gemara in a few places, notably in Chulin, what exactly a Koi is. Is it a crossbreed between a domestic and a wild animal? The Gemara describes it over there as, for example, that a male goat mates with a female gazelle and the baby would be called a koi. So that's one possibility. The other possibility, the Gemara says, it's beria b'fnei atma. It's a separate species where, because it has certain characteristics of a chaya and some of a behema, then the chachamim weren't sure which one it is. According to that last possibility, I've seen people claiming, for example, that a koi could be a buffalo or various other possibilities. Anyway, whatever it is, so it's a Suffolk Chaya, Suffolk Behema. So again, one way of understanding the Tanakhama is to be saying, if he was Makdish only his Chayas, then we say, because of the Suffolk, then the koi is included as well. The koi might be a Chaya, but it might be a Behema, and therefore we have to include it. The same way, if he's Makdish only his Chayas, we would say the same thing. If he's Makdish both his Chayas and his Behemas, according to that understanding, there's no question. Rabbi Eliezer is not going to disagree with that, because no matter whether you consider it a Chaya or a Behema, either way, the Koi is going to be included. That's one way. On the other hand, that's one way that Tosfos brings. Then Tosfos brings another possibility from the Ri, that no, actually, even if he was Makdish both of them, the Tanakhama would say, whether he's Makdish one or whether he's Makdish both, the Tanakhama would say the Koi is always included. Rebbe Eliezer would say, even if he's Makdish both, it means he's Makdish all the ones that are definitely Chayas, or all the ones that are, and all the ones that are definitely Behemoths, but not the Koi, which might be one or the other. Anyway, so the Tanakhama says, Hikdish is a Koi. Rebbe Eliezer, I'm a loy Hikdish is a Koi. And Rebbe Eliezer says he was not Makdish the Koi. So we see that Rabbi Eliezer holds that in the case of a Suffolk, it's not included, and the Chachamim say it did. So, says Reb Zera, man de omam amoinim ayel sveka. So, the Chachamim in that, the Tanakama in that Braisa, who says that a person will bring his mamon into a suffik, meaning, in other words, that again, he was makdish only his chayas, or only his behemoth, or maybe both of them, according to the Ri, then we say whatever is a suffik is included as well. So if he's willing that to say that whatever is a suffik is also included, gufei nami ma'ayo, then himself he can also put into a suffik. So when you have a case, for example, where it's a suffik, whether he's a nazir or not, we can assume that he meant to take on Nazirus because of the suffix. Because maybe, for example, that guy who was walking towards them was, after all, a Nazir. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer, who says that a person is not going to bring his mamon into suffix, so he would say, Gufinami, Koshken Deloima Ayala Sveka. How much more so he's not going to bring his own body into a suffix? In other words, Rabbi Eliezer would say that in the case he's not Makdish the Koi, therefore, by the same logic, he would say that, that if he has a suffix, whether he's supposed to be a Nazir or not, then in fact he wouldn't be a Nazir. So now, our Mishnah of Stam Nazirus Lahokel would be according to Rabbi Eliezer. The Mishnah in Taras that says suffix Nazirus Lahokel would be according to Rabbi Eliezer. Our Mishnah that says Stam Nadorim Lahachmer would be according to the Chacham. But the Gemara continues, Omalei Abaya, B'mayu Kimta L'Safik Nazirus L'Hokul K'Rabbi Eliezer. So what are you telling me then, that Mishnah in Taras is according to Rabbi Eliezer, because he's saying, just like the Koi is not included because of the Safik, so also the person is not a Nazir because of the Safik. Ema Sefer, but, says Abaya, look at the next part of the Mishnah, Safik B'choris, when you have something that is a Safik B'chor, for example, in the Echad B'chor Onim V'Echad B'chor Behema, whether we're talking about people or whether we're talking about animals. So the Ran gives an example. Let's say that the woman or the animal gave birth to twins, a male and a female, and you don't know which one came out first. So in the case of human babies, the boy. In the case of animals, the male is a Safik B'chor. So Ben Tmeya Ben Tahora, whether it's a behemoth Tmeya, specifically that would be a donkey, because we know that a petra chamor, you have a mitzvah to redeem, or Ben Tahora, whether it's a kosher animal, in which case the animal is supposed to be brought as a korban, then we say, it's supposed to be given nowadays to the kohen when it develops a mum, hamotzi mechaver l'varai. So then, if the kohen wants the five sloim for the human baby, for pinyan aben, or if he wants the bechor, if he wants the sheep for the pinyan petra chamor, or if he wants the bechor behemoth tahora itself, he's going to have to bring proof that it belongs to him, and he can't. So therefore, he doesn't get it. On the other hand, the din would be the hamotzi mechaber l'varai. It would mean the mechorish adds if the koyan were to grab it, then the hamotzi mechaber is the owner. Now the owner would have to bring the raya that it wasn't a bechor. Anyway, v'toni Allah, but we learn in a braisa in connection with that Mishnah, v'asurim b'gizav avoida. Nevertheless, even if we say that, for example, you don't have to give that b'chor behema tahora to the koyan, because you can say it's not a b'chor, it may be that the female animal was born first. Nevertheless, just in case, that male animal is also to be sheared and is also to work with, just like any other b'chor. So if you're going to say that those Mishnayos and Taras go according to Rabbi Eliezer, then that means he would have to be the author of that Mishnah as well. And yet he's saying that we have to be machmir by that suffix. So why should we say then? So why would we say that he's makel? Why would we say that Rabbi Eliezer is makel by the nazir and saying suffix nazir is not a nazir? But now all of a sudden he'd be saying that a suffix bechor is a bechor. So Rabzera answers, how are you comparing Kedusha that comes by itself, that comes automatically, to Kedusha that comes through a person? A Bechor, as soon as it's born, it automatically has Kedusha. You didn't even have to, we learned earlier in the Masechta, in the previous Perek, you don't have to even have to declare it as a Bechor. Even if you don't, it automatically becomes a Bechor. You have a mitzvah, l'chatchila, to say this is Kodesh as a Bechor, but it becomes Bechor regardless. So that kind of thing, you have a suffix. So you could say it's not a question of did you choose to go into the suffix or not. The fact is that the suffix exists intrinsically. Whereas when it comes to Nazirus or when it comes to Nadarim, you could argue that the person may not want to put himself in a suffix. He may not. We're going to talk about further down, which we'll learn tomorrow, Best Hashem, that when it comes to Nazirus, especially, there's a problem with suffix Nazirus in that you can't bring the chatas. You can't bring a chatas voluntarily, and you can't bring a chatas behema for a suffer. So if a person has a suffered nazir, he has a problem because he can't bring his chatas. So, for that matter, a suffered nazir can't shave his hair either. But there you could say, okay, at least a woman, for example, is allowed to shave, or you know, so that might not be such an issue. But for anybody, they can't bring a chatas voluntarily. So if they're a suffered nazir, they have a problem. So you could argue, when it comes to something that you accept on yourself, such as nazirus, you would say, Rabbi Eliezer would say, a person is not willing to put himself into that kind of suffer. And he would say the same thing, his mom, and he doesn't want to put into a suffix, which is why he said the koi you're not giving to hekesh. It's different with the bechor. It's not your choice anyway. The animal might be a bechor, it might not be, but either way, the suffix is intrinsic to the situation. It wasn't your choice. Therefore, says Reb Zera, you can't bring, there's no basis for a question to ask that just because Reb Eliezer is makel, just because I'm arguing that Reb Eliezer is makel by a nazir, therefore we should say that he should be makel by the bechor as well. It doesn't follow. So we'll continue the discussion tomorrow, Best Hashem, and see whether in fact we can make it work that Mishnah goes according to Reb Eliezer, and what other answers we can bring to say that to reconcile our Mishnah with that Mishnah in Taharis about Suffolk Nazirus Lahakul. So that we'll continue tomorrow morning, Best Hashem.